Is there a supernatural dimension? A world beyond the one we know? Is there life after death? Do angels exist? Can our dreams contain messages from heaven? Can we tap into ancient secrets of the supernatural? Are healing miracles real? Sid Roth has spent over 35 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid for this edition of It's Supernatural.
Welcome to my world, where it's natural, supernatural. My guest is considered by many, Bill Johnson for one, the most accurate prophet he has ever met. Now, a few years ago, my guest had a dream about the future of America. And this is what he has to share. I've never heard publicly before. But for the first time, he's been given permission to share it publicly. Would you like to hear it?
Yes!
You know, when I was 8 years old, I didn't know diddly about God. I knew nothing about the invisible world. You, on the other hand, at eight, what started happening to you?
Well, I grew up in a home where we believed the supernatural was real. We believed in healing and prophecy, and we believed you could experience it. So I had dreams when I was 8 years old, when I would see visions of seas of people of different cultures, and they were crying out to be saved, and I would be giving them good news, preaching to them. I would wake up crying, which I now know was intercession. And for hours, I would lay in bed weeping for these people that didn't know God. And this intercession went to a place where there was some interference that came into my life. I started hearing negative voices. I started having night terrors. I heard voices saying, I want to kill you. I even had these beings jump on me.
How does an eight-year-old process something like this?
Well, I think you don't know you're processing it. Sometimes we have things that happen to us as kids. We think, well, everybody's experiencing this. Well, everybody has nightmares. Everybody hears voices. But for me, I had to process it with my parents. So I'd run to their room every night and say, I'm having bad dreams again. And they would always pray for me to think good thoughts, have good dreams. And then I'd go back to bed. But there was these constant bombardment. And so this negative view of the supernatural became my lens. And so I shut it down for a while because I didn't want this negative.
Now, but tell me about the positive you were seeing. Were you in these dreams, were you actually, do you feel you actually were going to places or seeing your future or what?
There was one time I went to a place where I remember there being a logging truck. There's these logs on top, and the log fell off and it crushed a guy's face. And I went up to this person and I went to pray for him, and I saw people standing around crying and weeping. And I said, if I pray for this man in the name of Jesus and he's healed, will you serve Jesus? And I prayed for him, and immediately his jaw snapped into place, and people came running and giving their life to Jesus. And an audible voice spoke to me and said, that's how you start a church in one day.
Now, this was an actual audible voice.
Yes, I heard that audible voice in my room that said, this is how you start a church in one day.
Okay, but he's a young kid. He shuts everything off until he goes to a church in Pensacola, Florida, called Brownsville. Tell me about it.
Well, because of this negative view and this negative lens I had, my relationship with God didn't end, but it became really rational, logical, through the scriptures, through going to church, which are great things. But if you don't have relationship and intimacy, that just becomes sterile. And I went to Brownsville because people told me about revival. And I didn't believe in revival. I didn't think it was revival. I thought it was just emotionalism. But I found people lining up for 12 hours there from 6 in the morning to 6 at night, and the Spirit of God was moving. And I was still a little skeptical, but one night in the meeting, the pastor stopped the worship service, and he said, there's a preacher here. And when he said those words, that voice that I would hear as a child spoke to me, and I heard it outside of me. He said, he's talking to you. for a moment, I wanted to argue, say, what do you mean? There's a lot of pastors here.
Yeah.
But that voice spoke to me, and I listened to what the pastor said, and he said these wonderful things about this person, how God was going to touch him and take him around the world. But one thing he said, Sid, was, God wants you to know, son, he's pleased with you. When he said the word son, it was the first time I heard God call me son. He had called me to be a Christian, be a preacher. But when I heard God say son, it changed my life, because one word from God can change your life.
So again, you're kind of shocked, and you go, why did you leave the auditorium when you get that word?
I first of all, I had to clean myself up. I was a mess. Mm-hmm. I was crying. I was weeping. People were handing my wife tissues. And so I sat down in the back hallway and I said, God, this can't be you talking to me. If it's you, I need you to show me. And out of the side door of the church comes these three prayer women interceding, and they landed on the floor. And one of them looked up at me and said, you're the preacher that word was for. God's going to use you.
Well, guess what? That word was true. He started going all over the world. Tell me briefly about your ordination service.
I was invited to go to South America to do actually a crusade. Well, in these meetings, we had blind eyes open. We had deaf ears open. And so at the end of these week-long meetings from 17 different cities, all of the speakers came together in the capital, and we ministered to a bunch of pastors. I was one of the ministers ministering to these pastors. And the Lord spoke to me and said, I want you to get at the end of the line and get ministry, receive ministry. And so when I got in the line, the head pastor, the apostle, and there was a prophet from Argentina, they were actually anointing people with this jar. I thought it was water. I'm like, why are they sprinkling water on people? And the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, don't worry about your hair, because they're going to pour that over your head. And I thought, oh, that's the worst thing, because I don't like my hair messed up. So they came to me and stood in front of me and said, you've been traveling as a prophet, but you've never been ordained as a prophet. Today is your ordination. We're your presbytery. And they dumped what was a gallon of oil.
Wow.
Over my hair and my clothes. Talk about the anointing.
I had half a glass dumped on me once, but they.
Yeah, it was quite an experience. And I went into a vision at this ordination. And what I saw was a vast army of soldiers, but I knew they were angels dressed in like warrior garb. And they took me and they put me on this horse. And I pointed. And when I pointed, these angels, an angel would fly, and there was a man with no eyes, and they put eyes in his head. And then I pointed again, and there was a woman with no ears, and they put ears on her. And I know now that what God was showing me was that God actually works together with us to release healing through the angelic, that the supernatural world is real, and it can change the world we live in. And I believe that's available for all of us.
Now, I believe that this is God's time for you to start doing what you saw in that vision. And the thing that's so exciting is Bob says God has shown him that you are only one God thought away from fulfilling your destiny. We'll talk about that when I come back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
If you love watching our It's Supernatural TV program, you can now watch hundreds of archive programs online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, on your computer, your smartphone, your iPad, or your favorite tablet.
ISN will be the vehicle to equip you to being normal, normal as defined by the Bible.
Just log on to sidroth.org/ISN.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
Well, Pastor Kilpatrick from the Brownsville Church prophesied that Bob would go all over the world and spread the fire. But tell me what happened when you were in Australia.
Well, a couple years ago, I went to Australia and I had a heaven thought. I was just praying for people, and a young woman came up that was about 21 years old, and she had a withered hand like this with a scar. I found out she had gone through a plate glass window when she was 4. So I prayed for her that hand would be healed, and nothing happened. And so I prayed again, and all of a sudden I had this thought. I saw it in heaven. I saw her playing the piano with 2 hands. And so I told her, this is what I see. I see you playing the piano with 2 hands and singing a song that you wrote yourself. And when I told her what I saw, she began to cry because she had just started taking piano lessons a year before. And she said, I can only play with one hand. So this time when we prayed knowing what heaven's thought was. And I said, God, thank you for two brand new piano hands. And when I opened my eyes, I looked and her hand was wide open like this. And the great thing about it was,
which she could not do before, it was
she
withered.
She opened it up and she actually went home that day. She sent me a message on social media 2 days later. I went home today, played the piano with two hands for the first time. I wrote my first song. I actually called and sang it for my pastor. I'm going to sing it in church next week. That's what a thought from heaven can do.
Tell me about this whole concept. How do you get these thoughts from heaven? How do you think like heaven?
Well, I think thinking like heaven starts with thinking about heaven. One of the examples of heaven that I love in the Bible, it says it's God's throne. Heaven is his throne, and he's enthroned on the praises of his people. It's not where God lives, but it's the place where he interacts with us. And he wants to interact with us from heaven to earth.
I mean, be practical right now.
Yeah.
What do I do? Do I just go in my spirit and say, I'm going to heaven and I'm going to jump on your lap, Dad?
Yeah.
Explain.
That makes sense. You know,
that makes sense. I know. But it's,
yeah.
It's,
no, it makes sense that people would have the question.
Okay.
And because I'm the same person. I have that question. So I start, when I'm in worship, I start thinking, this is real. What the Bible says is real. And then God makes it real to me. And so what happens is I start to think about, what would it look like for me to go up and talk to God? What would it go for me to listen to what God has to say to me? And I believe that when that happens, what we're doing is we're becoming aware that it's real. And awareness is the first step to accessing it. And once we become aware that these thoughts are real, for instance, there's a study done that 50% of our waking hours are spent daydreaming. If we become aware of what we're thinking when we're daydreaming, I believe many times heaven is speaking to us, and that's an invitation for us to enter into. So if we become aware of it, we can access it. And I believe in the middle of our daydreaming are destiny dreams.
But most people have all of these thoughts, and they don't have a clue that God is in the mix.
Yeah. The practical way is that whenever you have a thought, you play it out to its end. So if you're getting on an airplane, you're thinking, oh boy, I hope this doesn't crash. Boy, I hope there's no turbulence. But instead, why don't we think of the best ending? Because the word hope is actually God's expected ending. So worry is using your imagination in a negative way, but hope is using your God thoughts in a way that will show you God's expected ending. And we can do that with any circumstance in our life. If we take a moment, we focus on God's atmosphere of heaven. God can speak to you right now if you're going through a situation in your home or your family, you're going through a relationship problem. What does God say about it? Because he's looking down to invite you to a place where you can experience the atmosphere of heaven and think like him.
Tell me an example of how someone had a God thought and it changed their life or even could impact society.
Yeah. I mean, I have literally hundreds of examples of speaking to people and helping them to see, because whenever we enter into what God says about us, it actually gives us permission to become what God says about us. Just recently, I was in Kansas City and I was leaving a meeting, and in the hallway, a young lady said, do you have any God thoughts for me? Do you have a word for me? And I looked at her, I said, I really don't, but I'm going to ask the Lord what he wants to say to you. And when I did, I saw the word scholarship written over her head. And I said, you know, I see you as wanting to go to college, but you don't feel like you can get a scholarship. But God wants you to know that if you ask, you'll receive. And she started to cry. She said, you know, I downloaded scholarship applications last night, and I didn't fill them out because I thought the answer would be no.
So she had a God thought, but you had to say that word to let her realize it was a God thought because she had already downloaded. That was God that had her download that.
Exactly. And the Bible says that not only be hearers, but doers of the word. And I believe that that's true, not just with the scriptures, but it's also true with every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. When he speaks something, he enables us to enter into it. And when you think something from God, if you test it out by stepping into it, you might change your life.
You know, just listening to you speak, it activates something in me to be actually expectant for a God thought. But that's the faith dimension.
Absolutely. And expectancy is what makes us aware. So if I start to expect it, when it happens, I'll start to realize, hey, that's it. That's a God thought. That wasn't just me. That was actually God dropping something in my heart. And I believe one thought from God can give us an idea to reach a new business market, to reach people in our neighborhood we don't know. And I believe one idea from God can give you the potential to reach out to a culture that you've never met before. In the situations in our country, in the things that God wants to do in your life, one thought from heaven can change everything for you.
Okay, I have two thoughts for you right now. Number one, people that have pain in your fingers, you're being healed right now. Just bend them like that. You'll see there is no pain or discomfort. And the second thought I have is that when Bob releases, for the first time, he's been sitting on this for years, the future of America, something major is going to happen in your life. Be right back.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural.
Call now and get Bob Hazlett's powerful Think Like Heaven teaching series, which includes his brand new anointed book, Change Your Thinking, Change Your World, and his four-part audio CD series, Prophecy Made Practical. Yours for a donation of $39. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9356. Bob Hazlett's brand new book, Think Like Heaven, Change Your Thinking, Change Your World, will actually rewire your brain to think and walk in the supernatural of God every day. Through this book, you will understand and how to clearly identify where your thoughts come from. Go on a journey of learning how to bring heaven's glory, God's promises and blessings into your life and the lives of the people you care about. Learn how a clear conscience gives you confidence. Fully realize that you were created with a God-given purpose and a destiny. Every chapter of this book ends with a series of thought-provoking questions and exercises to teach and develop the gift of hearing and seeing prophetically in your life. Bob Hazlett's four-part audio CD series, Prophecy Made Practical, includes everything you need to understand prophecy and begin living supernaturally. Through it, you will learn the multiple ways God is speaking to you, discover the three modes of divine communication, participate in live exercises to hear God's voice, identify the five hindrances to hearing God, master the seven principles to speaking prophetically to non-religious people, have many of your questions answered about prophets and prophecy, change your thinking and the world around you by getting Bob Hazlett's powerful Think Like Heaven teaching series, which includes his brand new anointed book, Change Your Thinking, Change Your World, and his four-part audio CD series, Prophecy Made Practical. Yours for a donation of $39. Shipping and handling is included. Ask for offer number 9356. Call or you can send your check to Sid Roth. It's Supernatural. P.O. Box 39222, Charlotte, North Carolina 28278. Please specify offer number 9356 or log on to SidRoth.org. Call or write today.
We now return to It's Supernatural.
You know, when Bob was a young boy, he did not have the power, the knowledge, the ability to recognize when a thought was from God, when a thought was from the devil, when a thought was perhaps from himself, and the devil took advantage of it. You had suicidal thoughts as a child.
I did. Along with these night terrors and visitations, I had these thoughts going through my mind. You're worthless. Kill yourself. Sometimes audibly, sometimes literally something jumping on top of me. And I would come to my parents' room and I would ask them for prayer. But one night I went to my parents' room and my father was praying for me. And like he normally did, help him to think good thoughts. And all of a sudden his voice changed. And he said, and I command these suicidal thoughts to be quieted and never come back. And when he did that, something broke in me. I started to cry because my father didn't know that. I had never told anyone, but my father in heaven did. And when you hear your father's voice, it quiets all the other voices around you. And I believe that's a key to learning the difference between where the thoughts come from. Because Jesus said, you'll hear my voice and you won't follow the voice of a stranger.
Okay, recently you heard that same voice again, but you reacted very differently.
Yeah, I was doing a conference and the auditorium was empty in between sessions. I happened to be walking through and I heard this voice. It was like it came from a balcony. It seemed audible, but it was one of those outside of you voices. And it was the same voice. You're worthless. You should kill yourself. And I stopped and I had this funny moment because I realized how ridiculous this thought was. I pointed to the balcony. If anyone saw me, they'd think I was crazy. I said, you're not my thought. I know where you came from, and I'm not going to listen to that anymore.
Well, we don't comprehend how much authority we have in the name of Jesus over that little imp that's lying.
That's right. But whenever the devil exposes his thoughts, he actually exposes a vulnerability. Because now I knew the voices other people were hearing. And that night, 12 people got set free from suicidal thoughts and suicidal actions and totally delivered from that spirit of suicide. And I believe that same voice is here today to release you from voices that have tormented you, to break off suicidal thoughts off of you.
Well, you had a dream about something that's going to happen in America very soon, but you weren't at liberty to share it until just now. What was that briefly?
Well, I had a dream in 2008, and in this dream, I saw a basketball team winning a game 5-4, which to me, that's a court. And I heard a voice fill my room that said, as a result of a court case, the Texas state legislature will outlaw abortion. And I believe we're in a time where God wants to heal the sins in the land, that there's been sins against the natives, there's been sins against other people groups. But one of the gravest sins in America is the sin of not valuing the life of the unborn and the elderly, the most vulnerable in society. And I feel like the Lord is saying He's heard the prayers of the thousands of people that have gathered in stadiums and prayed, of the thousands of young people who put tape over their mouth with the word life and stood silently interceding for the life of the unborn, of the generations of grandparents that have prayed, of the people who have wept over their decisions. I believe that God is saying, don't give up on your prayers, because I haven't given up on your prayers. And I believe we're going to see a shift in our nation around the value of life. And it's going to start in the state level. And I believe Texas will be one of those places. Since I've had that word, Texas has gone from over 50 abortion clinics to less than 10 now. And I believe we're going to see the diminishing of the finances around this issue and a diminishing of the desire. And there's going to be hope for those that are contemplating terminating pregnancy. There's going to be hope for this nation. And I believe God is saying, I've heard your prayers, don't give up, because I do want to heal your land.
If I'm understanding you right, you're seeing that from a state level, Christians are going to start changing the whole destiny of America.
I believe we're going to see a shift from the rulership from the top to the rulership from beneath. And there's going to be local and state leadership that's going to begin to pass laws for the value of life. And that's only one of the issues that's going to be affected by this.
Okay. You had a vision.
Yes.
In heaven of the lampstand. Briefly, tell me what it was and what effect it had on you.
You know, when God gives you a thought, you can enter back into it. You can enter into a bad memory or a good memory. And I was walking through the stages of the tabernacle. And as I got closer to the Holy of Holies, there was this lampstand. Zechariah says it's the lampstand of heaven. Isaiah said it's the sevenfold spirit of God. And so there was this being there, I believe it was an angel, it didn't have a face, that handed me these seven vials of oil and said, this is the anointing oil of the sevenfold spirit of God, the fullness of the spirit. And as a result, you're going to see brain injuries healed. The way I poured anointing oil over you when you were ordained, you're going to anoint people with the Spirit of God, and you're going to see brain injuries healed.
Pray that right now.
Yes. So God, I thank you that you're healing neurological disorders. You're healing ADD, ADHD. And even the testimonies that I've seen since that moment of people being healed of stroke and paralysis, of neurological things, of ADD, of bipolar disorder, that anointing oil, the sevenfold spirit of God from Isaiah chapter 11, is being released now to bring healing to minds, but also to release the ideas from heaven, and that our minds will be able to be set on things above and not on things of this world. Amen.